Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last."
Well, it's my pleasure to welcome you again. My name's Hugh Gissons. I work as a lawyer just around the corner. Please don't blame me for that. For a firm just around the corner from here. And it'd be great if you could kindly keep this passage that we've just had read to us open, together with the sheet that you should have been handed as you gave in, which gives an outline for where we're going to be heading today. So I wonder whether you've ever had the experience of missing out on something wonderful because you've left it too late. Those who know me well will be aware that I don't have a reputation for punctuality. It's something I've been working on, but it's definitely work in progress, I would say. And there have been a number of occasions when I've turned up to, let's say, a play, something like that, and I've had to wait outside as I can hear people laughing and applauding inside. As I wait for the end of the first scene so that I can sort of sneak in and enjoy the rest of the play. It's not a very nice feeling, actually, that feeling of being left out or excluded as lots of people are having fun on the inside. Well, we come on our passage today to a story told by Jesus about exclusion. It's actually a sobering story because it's about missing out on something far more wonderful than a play. And here there is no chance of sneaking in late. But let's set the scene first. So in these verses, Jesus has been talking a lot in Luke chapter 13 about those who are on the right or the wrong side when it comes to being accepted by God. So in the last few weeks, we've seen how it's important to repent, to turn from our previous direction in life, and to trust in Jesus. And we've seen how Jesus is more interested in those who personally trust in him than what you might call the religious establishment, people who are obsessed by kind of rule-keeping and appearances. And last week, we saw Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God, God's new creation, which anyone who trusts in Jesus will be able to look forward to in eternity. And now, in today's passage, the theme continues as Jesus is asked a question in verse 23. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Can you see how that is continuing on the same theme from the rest of Luke chapter 13? Are only a few people going to be saved? That is, will only a few people make it to the kingdom of God in eternity? Or the feast in the kingdom of God, as Jesus describes it in verse 29. You see there at the end of verse 29, will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. We might call it a party in heaven. It's wonderful, isn't it, that that's how heaven is described. I think sometimes we tend to have a rather negative, slightly bored view of heaven. Well, that's certainly not the case here. It's a banquet. It's a party. So the issue on the agenda here is being saved. It's salvation. Are only a few people, this person is asking, are there only a few people going to be on the right side in eternity? That's the question in verse 23. And I wonder if you noticed as we read the passage that Jesus doesn't directly answer the question that he's asked. We do get a kind of answer at the end in verses 29 and 30. So verse 29, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. So presumably that's quite a lot of people if they're going to be coming from east and west and north and south. But Jesus' focus isn't on the fact that there are going to be many or not many. No, his focus is on the fact that there are people who are assuming they're going to be in, but who won't be. So verse 30, indeed there are those who are last who will be first and first who will be last. There are people who are first, who think that they're on the inside, as it were, when it comes to Jesus and the kingdom of God, who actually will end up being last, who will end up being excluded. So Jesus is less interested in telling us how the proportions break down of those who are in and those who are out. Less interested in that than in making sure that his listeners and we as we read this passage are on the right side of the line. So it's not so much an abstract question of numbers, but a much more personal question of which side are we on? It's a little bit like, are only a few people going to be safe from redundancy in a redundancy exercise? And the answer, well, let me tell you how to make sure you're going to be safe from redundancy. I'm not interested in telling you how many people are going to be made redundant, but let me make sure that you know how you're going to be safe. So the issue is salvation. Jesus' priority is on telling us how we're going to be on the right side. So let's see how he does address that question. And there are three things that I want us to see, and they're the points on your outline. So firstly, there is a deadline for entry. There is a deadline for entry. And that's verses 24 to 25, which I'll read now. He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. We can picture the scene, can't we? People heading to this party in a house, dressed up in their glad rags, some rushing, others meandering slowly, not in any rush. Perhaps they're chatting about how the day's been, what the party is going to be like. And it's a big party, and there are plenty of people there, but there's only one narrow doorway to get in. So verse 24, many make every effort to enter through the narrow door. I think of it a bit like an old-fashioned walled garden in a stately home or something. There's a marquee inside the lawn. There's a sort of party in the house going on behind the marquee. And you can hear the music pumping. But there's just one simple narrow doorway to get in to all this. And the time is coming when the owner of the house is going to get up and shut the door and bar it with one of those sort of old-fashioned bolts that goes right across and completely closes the door. Suddenly, the entry will be barred. It was unimaginable a few moments ago. People were streaming in. A few people had dawdled to do up their shoelaces or check their makeup in a pocket mirror. But suddenly, everything has changed. The way is barred. The deadline has passed, and there is no more access. And so it is, Jesus is saying, with heaven. At the moment, loads of people are entering. Loads of people are becoming Christians and putting their trust in the Lord Jesus for the first time. It's happening all over the world. People in Iran, in North Africa, in China, South America, some even in the West. And it's happening even here in the city of London. People in the firms in this area of the city are hearing the good news about the Lord Jesus. They're repenting of their sins and they're trusting in him. They're streaming in. But also there are some who are dawdling. There are some who maybe have a familiarity with Jesus, a familiarity with the church, but they haven't actually personally trusted in him. And Jesus is saying, there is a deadline coming. There will be a day when it is too late, and the axe will fall, and it will be judgment day, and Jesus will return. And the deadline will come, and suddenly it will be no longer possible to make it into this feast, this party, this celebration in heaven. It's going to be too late. Those who were putting it off, enjoying the journey, not quite making it in, well, they're going to be on the outside. They will have missed the deadline. So firstly, there's a deadline for entry. Secondly, many will wrongly assume they're in. Many will wrongly assume they're in. And that's verses 25 to 27. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." So again, let's imagine the scene. Those people who haven't made it in because the deadline has passed, the gate's been shut in their faces. But they don't immediately give up hope because they know the owner. Or at least they think they do. So verse 25, they say, "Sir, open the door for us." Verse 26, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." We're familiar with you, with Mr. Owner. You know us. We're part of the same social circle. We've been to dinner parties together. We've had a laugh over last orders in the pub together. But these people are in for a shock. As the owner says, he doesn't know them after all. He says it twice, doesn't he? Verse 25. But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." And again, verse 27. But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." You may have rubbed shoulders with me, he says, but you're not on my team at all. Now, to understand what Jesus is talking about here, it's worth remembering the context. So Jesus has been criticizing in Luke's gospel. He's been criticizing especially the religious establishment. For example, we saw it earlier in the chapter when a woman was healed on the Sabbath, and then the religious establishment criticized him for healing a woman on the Sabbath. And it's these religious leaders who Jesus has particularly got it in for here. Those who assume they're in the right with God, who are respectable, upstanding people, who maybe they know the Ten Commandments, they're good citizens. But they've never actually repented and trusted in Jesus Christ. So people who assume they're okay with Jesus, but have never actually turned from their old way of life and turned to him and submitted to his rule. They may think they're okay, but actually they're not. They're not in relationship with him. These are the people to whom Jesus says, "I don't know you. I'm not on your side at all. Go away." Verse 27, "all you evildoers." It's sobering, isn't it? So that's the second point. Many will wrongly assume they're in. And then thirdly, exclusion will be awful. Exclusion will be awful. And that's verses 28 to the end. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. Because this isn't a party that will just be kind of annoying to be excluded from. No, it's far more serious than that. That phrase, weeping and gnashing of teeth in verse 28, it's a picture of agonizing regret. As the people who assumed that they're okay with God are left with a horrific emptiness as it were, chewing themselves up, gnashing teeth, as they see the enormity of what has happened, as they're left out, excluded forever. While through a crack in the wall, they can see their religious heroes, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, joining in the party. Oh, look, there's the vicar. Well, there's my friend, the Christian, who I've had a couple of interesting chats with and I've been on good terms with. Hi. Hi, Abraham. Hi, Pete. Hi, Jemima. Can I come in, please? Oh, it's too late. I'm on the outside and there's no way of getting back in. There's nothing I can do about it. The doorway has been shut. I'm left on the outside, facing God's punishment rather than joining him in his eternal banquet. So exclusion will be awful. So, just before we close then, what's the lesson of this story? Well, I think it's simply this. Make every effort to get in. That's what Jesus says in verse 24, isn't it? Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Can I plead with you, if you're not trusting in Jesus at the moment, please do that. Please do trust in him before it's too late. This doesn't mean make every effort to be a better and better person. That's not what Jesus is saying here. It's saying make every effort to make sure you're in relationship with Jesus. That was the difference, wasn't it, between the people the owner accepted into the party and those he didn't accept, was he said, I don't know you or where you come from. So Jesus is saying, make every effort before it's too late to know him. And we do that by trusting in him, by repenting of our sins, by turning from our old way of life, saying thank you to Jesus for dying in our place, and then submitting to him and entering into a relationship with him, which starts now and lasts forever. Trust in Jesus. That's the way to make sure that our entry is certain. It's not spelt out in these verses, but it is hinted at by the fact that the reason the owner throws his people out is that they don't know him. But if we trust in Jesus and accept his offer of forgiveness, then we will be known by God and accepted by him. Being nice or being moral or having friends who are Christians isn't enough. No, the doorway is narrow, and we need to actually enter through it ourselves. We actually need to take a step of faith, and there will be one day when it is too late. And if you don't know how to do that, then do have a word with me afterwards or one of the people who welcomed you here this lunchtime, and we'd be delighted to explain how to do it. So as I say, it's a sobering passage, this one. And as I read it, I can think of those I know and work with who are currently on the outside, who perhaps assume that they're okay with God, assume they're in relationship with him. Well, this passage warns us against that and encourages us to trust personally in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray together now before we close? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the prospect of the banquet, the party in heaven, and please help us to make every effort to enter it, and please help us to warn others to do the same, for Jesus' sake. Amen.